Everybody should get a handout. Okay, welcome to the shiur on Kinshah Chodesh. What I'd like to cover is really the Hakdamah, the astronomical Hakdamah introduction to what goes on, which forms the calendar, really all the Shmanei Hayayim. And then hopefully later this evening we'll get into the Shas HaMailah, the different times of the when the new moon occurs and how that works and how that impacts on the calendar per se. There are really three rotations or revolutions that occur which impact on Zmanei Hayayim. And again, if you have the handout, these are four pages of handouts. What I'm going to do is collect them back at the end of tonight, and I have actually a booklet that I put it into. I just wanted to know about how many booklets to make. It's about a 20-page booklet where I have a lot more pages, which will really be the guide to getting through the 8 or 9 weeks of the shiur, where we'll cover this topic. Just historically, I've given this kapur in the yeshiva, and we actually also cover Zmanei Hayayim, which we're probably not going to get to this summer. Maybe we'll do that next year. In other words, there are really two halves of Zmanei Hayayim. One is Kinshah Chodesh, which relates to the new moon, the month, the calendar, and leap years, and why there are leap years, and so on. That's what we're going to cover. The second half is about Zmanei Hayayim, which is about sunrise and sunset, and Tesek HaChavim, and what time you could have a mincha, and so on and so forth. So really, we're going to cover the Hakdamah, the astronomical Hakdamah will cover really everything, and then we'll get into the Mailan and so on. So, take a look at the page number one, and again, I knew I should be getting a handout, and you'll see that there are several rotations that occur on a daily or annual basis. The first one is the rotation of the Earth. The Earth spins on its axis, and takes 24 hours every day, as we know, in the morning, you see the sun rise, and then about 12 hours later, depending on the season, the sun then goes down, and Kohena v'Kohena, when it's 8 o'clock at night here, 9 o'clock at night in Baltimore, in China, it's in the morning because they're on the other side of the earth. Again, this takes 24 hours to spin around. That has an impact on Zmanei Hayayim, for example, what time I could daven Shacharis, when the sun comes up, I could daven Shacharis in the afternoon, I could daven Mincha, when the sun goes down, I could daven Ma'ariv, and it also has an impact on Shabbos, because when Shabbos begins on Friday afternoon at Shkia, that also is due to the rotation of the earth on spinning on its axis. The second rotation is in figure 2, and that is the moon going around the earth. So if you look at the picture, you'll see that if you look to the moon in between the sun and the earth, that is what occurs around Rosh Chodesh time, where the sunlight the sun's light is shining on the right-hand side of the moon in the picture, and yet the earth is only able to see the left-hand side of the moon, which is dark. That period of time is the new moon. It's really a blank moon. You don't see anything. Then 7 days later, the moon is up here, and then about 15 days after Rosh Chodesh, the moon is all on the opposite side. So the sunlight is shining on the moon, and you actually see a full moon because this complete sunlight that's hitting the moon, and you're able to see that, and then again every month it goes around and around and around. Now we'll talk about why is there an eclipse, why isn't the light of the sun being blocked by the earth, sometimes it is. We'll see that a lunar eclipse occurs always around the middle of the month, and a solar eclipse always occurs around Rosh Chodesh. We'll understand why based on this picture when we get some of the details. This rotation takes 29 days, 12 hours, 44 minutes, and 3 1/3 seconds. That's how long it takes. That time, which is given, is an average amount of time. In reality, it really takes longer than this time. It really takes less than this, less or more than this time. In reality, it really takes only 27 days and some hours. It's just because the earth is also moving, so therefore what occurs, and we'll see this on the next page when we get into further details, but basically it really takes less than this. For practical purposes though, it takes 29 days, 12 hours, 44 minutes, 3 1/3 seconds. That is an average amount of time. That is an average amount of time. Really, it could take 29 days and 16 hours. It could take 29 days and 7 hours. On average, given over a span of time, it takes 29 days, 12 hours, 44 minutes, 3 and a third seconds. That average is based on the Sira that we have. The Chazal's, the Sira that they had was basically precise, almost certainly to the second, even to the partial second, and it had to be precise because the Chazal's Kabbalah had been off by even a mashahu of a second, or let's say a half a second, over a period of time. What would have happened is Rosh Chodesh would come out with a full moon. It would be a chukat lulav, it would be a joke. So Chazal had this Kabbalah and this Mesira, and therefore they were able to keep it to the exact time. You will notice in parentheses this period of time that says one chelik. 29 days, 12 hours, 44 minutes, 3 and a third seconds. That 3 and a third second is equivalent to a chelik. A chelik literally means a portion. A chelik is what Chazal decided to make time much easier. You see, when we talk about a period of time, we have an hour, we divide it into 60 minutes, and those 60 minutes are subdivided into 60 seconds. So there are 3,600 seconds in an hour. Chazal took that hour and they divided it into 1,080 halakim. So if you divide that amount of time, you'll see each chelik is 3 1/3 seconds. Now when they call out the Tzitzas HaMailud, which we're going to elaborate on, we don't get to that high of a chelik. The answer is we let's say, I'll use the term cheat for lack of a better word, we actually call out minutes. And we say so many minutes and so many halakim. Really, the real way to call halakim is simply so many hours and so many halakim, and you can have a 1,000 halakim in an hour. In that hour, you could have 180 halakim. If they would technically announce the milah and say the milah will be at 2 p.m. and 180 halakim, that means 2 p.m. and 10 minutes, or 10 minutes after 2. We will see the importance of appreciating the exact number of halakim when we do what's called the mathematical mailadais. I made up that term, but when you're actually adding, you'll see the importance of keeping track of the cheshbon. It's much easier to add halakim as we go along. But the bottom line is that this is, every month, the mailad moves up 29 days, 12 hours, 44 minutes, 3 and 3 seconds. If your luach was ripped out, and you're the gabbai of the shul, and you know, it's missing, let's say, Shavuot of Rachim Tammuz, you can look up Shabbos of Arkham Sivan, and you can say, okay, the Milan will be 29 days later, 12 hours, 44 minutes, and 3 and a third chelik. You do the math, and you come out with the Shasa Milan. For that matter, you can add every single month for the next 100 years. And in fact, the whole way of calculating the Milan is from Bria Sa'ilam. We take the Shasa Milan, and every single month since Bria Sa'ilam, we keep adding this number over and over and over again until we get the Milan for Sivan. Or Tammuz Abba Leilu Taiva Tafshin Samach Vav. Again, we'll talk more in detail on it, but the Milut is a function of the moon going around the earth and the time of the new moon. In number three, the third picture is the earth going around the sun. And this will also have an impact on our discussion. I wrote the word tilted simply because it's not a perfect picture of the earth. It really should be tilted towards the sun. That takes the earth goes around the sun. It takes, the scientific number is 365 days, 5 hours, 48 minutes, and 46 seconds. This has an impact halakhically on, first, it certainly has an impact on the secular calendar, which we're also going to talk about, because the secular calendar is 365 days, and we know that quarter day is why we have an extra day every 4 years. You will notice that it's not exactly a quarter day. It's only 365 days, 5 hours, 48 minutes. 46 seconds, it's really 11 minutes and 14 seconds off. And you'll say, big deal. It was such a big deal, that 14 minutes, that the entire calendar was changed 400 years ago, with the implications of that change felt ad hayom hazeh. With nafkaminas, we're going to get into that. It relates to Talmudar, it relates to Pirkei Chama. Most important, this rotation of the earth around the sun relates to the Ibra Shana, because this represents seasons. Every year the earth goes around the sun, takes 365 days and 5 hours and so many minutes. when that happens, the earth is in the same location, and therefore you're at the same season that you were. So for example, 365 days ago, so today would be June the 5th, was really seasonally the same point last year and the year before. And because Pesach has to be B'chodesh Aviv, we need to reconcile with this Zman and be able to deal with this Zman in order to ensure that Pesach comes out during the spring, so that's why we have Ibra Hashanah. Again, we will elaborate on this in great detail as to how often we have Ibra Hashanah and how does it all work out. But the bottom line is that if you were to take, very simply, if you were to take figure 2, multiply it up by 12 times that the moon goes around the earth, you're going to come up with 29 days, 12 hours times 12, you're going to get 354 days, and therefore your seasons are going to, Pesach is going to start to fall back. It's going to end up in the winter time, and we need B'chodesh Aviv, so we need to look at figure 3 to keep us in check, so that Pesach is B'chodesh Aviv. It also relates to Talu Matar, which we all know that Talu Matar begins on December 4th by Maariv, sometimes December 5th, and it's always, you know, a plea as to why is it that it goes by the Goyish day. The answer is it doesn't really go by the Goyish day. It goes by the Yiddish day. You can calculate it for the Yiddish day. Before they had the Goyish secular calendar, they said Talu Matar. They didn't have December 4th to deal with. The answer why we use December 4th is convenient because it's working on the same basis. It's a function of the seasons, and therefore it's going to come out in the same period of time. Again, we're going to elaborate in detail on these and young. So really, figure 1 really relates to, we're not going to get to this summer, that relates to the Zman HaYayin, so sunrise, sunset, when Shabbos starts, and so on. But really, the figure 2 and figure 3, which relate to the moon going around the earth, as well as the earth going around the sun, we're going to adjust. One Derech Agav is Gemara in Masechta Zara, as well as Rosh Hashanah, that says that you're not supposed to draw pictures of the sun and the moon. Taisus, as well as the Shulchan Aruch, says that by the sun and the moon, you're not allowed to even draw two-dimensional, because that's how you see it. You look up at the sky and you see a flat disk. It looks two-dimensional. People, because we shine them, we come out that people, you are allowed to draw, because I see you three-dimensional, so I cannot make a three-dimensional figure. It's also to make a form of human being, so to speak, out of clay or what have you. But two-dimensional people is permissible. That's where we can take pictures, even though the Shitas HaRan is even, that would be Osir, but we don't pass like the Ran. We hold people you could make two-dimensional, you can't make three-dimensional. The sun and the moon, you're not allowed to make even two-dimensional, because that's how we see it. The Heter is, the Gemara says, is Kedei L'Hislame, in order to teach, in order to learn, to understand the Bris Olam of how this works. It's mutter to make these two-dimensional figures, and therefore, that's our Heter for putting these figures on to the onto the page. Now, looking at these figures a little bit more in detail, look at figure number 4. Relates to the moon going around the earth, which is what we're going to talk about vis-a-vis Kiddush HaChodesh. The moon at the time of Rosh Chodesh, at the time of the new moon, the moon stands between the sun and the earth. Therefore, the right-hand side of the moon is lit up because the sunlight is shining on the moon, onto the right-hand side of the moon. The earth, if you're standing at the time of Rosh Chodesh and you're looking up at the moon, when you look up at the moon Rosh Chodesh, why don't you see a moon by Rosh Chodesh or by the time of the new moon? The answer is, whether it's daytime or whether it's nighttime, you're not going to see the moon. Because let's say Reuven is standing in the United States, where it's 12 o'clock in the afternoon. Now why is it 12 o'clock in the afternoon? Because the sun is shining on Reuven, who's in the United States. Now, he looks up into the sky. What does he see? He sees a sun. And he also technically is looking at a moon, but he doesn't see anything, because the right-hand side of the moon, which is lit up, is he can't see, because it's the other side. The left-hand side of the moon, he doesn't see either, because it's dark. Because there's no sunlight which is shining onto the moon. I should mention another rotation which has no halakhic implications, is that the moon also rotates. It rotates exactly on the same time as the moon goes around the earth. And there's a manush of habayre, and that is that as the moon is going, unlike the earth takes 365 days to go around the sun, but yet every 24 hours it's spinning around. The moon takes 29 and a half days to go around the earth, and it also spins on its axis. It takes 29 and a half days, which basically means that we look at the same side of the moon at any time, because the moon is facing us, and then when it gets here, we're not looking at the back side, but rather it's spun like this, almost as if the same side of the moon is always pointing towards the Earth, and the back side of the moon is never pointing towards the Earth. When they sent the mission to the moon in the 1960s, they were able to take pictures of the side of the moon, which had never ever been seen, even though it's lit up sometimes. In fact, around Rosh Chodesh, that side of the moon is lit up. It's the right-hand side, but you can't see it. And therefore, when they sent man to the moon, they took pictures of that side of the moon. It was the first time ever people on Earth were able to see that side of the moon, because it's always shielded from us, and we don't have the ability to see that. It has no halachic implications, because the rotation of the moon really makes no difference to us on its axis. The problem with the moon is, again, when it's going around the Earth. Now, back to this point is, so therefore, if it's daytime around Rosh Chodesh, you're not going to see the moon, because you're only looking at the dark side. Now, Shimon, who's in China, certainly doesn't see the moon, because Shimon in China is looking out into outer space, and the moon is on the other side. He's no shaykhus. You're standing between Park Heights and Reisenau Road, and you're facing Park Heights. You know, you can't, and there's a building behind you. You're never going to see Park Heights, because you're facing the wrong direction, and there's nothing to see. So therefore, Shimon in China won't see, Reuven in the United States won't see this. Now, that's the moment, the time of the moment that the moon passes between the Earth and the Sun is known as the Shas HaMailad. And the reason it's called Shas HaMailad is because Mailad is for the Shas of Mailad, to be born. And what happens is that at that moment, in a split second, the old moon, the sliver is gone, and then it's totally blank, and a split second later, this all happens basically instantaneously, because the moon is traveling at a very quick pace. It's like crossing the finish line and starting all over again. Then at that moment is the Shas HaMailad. The Maril, who's a Rishon in Siman Tes, says that the Mailad is B'Shas Nigud HaAmiti, which means the exact alignment of these three bodies. The Shvili Derekiya, which we'll quote periodically, which was written by the Tiferes Yisrael and has a tremendous sefer on these halachas of Kiddush HaChodesh. It's a takdama to Mayan Aleph in the Tiferes Yisrael, Yochanan Bayaz. He says that really it's the concept of Mailad is when the Keren Or, when the technical first sliver of the moon is there. The Pashtus, really, they're really saying the same thing. In other words, technically, at the time when they're all aligned, you won't see anything. The first sliver that's theoretically visible, we'll talk about when it's realistically visible, but the first sliver that is technically visible is a split second later. So, Mashalmat Daradayma is, when does a car, right, the Indianapolis 500, when do you win the race? Right, when you cross the finish line, but, you know, is it when you pass the finish line or when you're over the finish line? The answer is it's really Hainu Hach, because the car is going to 250 miles an hour, and the technical finish line is really a finitely thin line that when you cross over, you've really passed it at the same moment. Realistically, you don't see the Mailad right away. There's a machlokes between Rashi and the Baal HaMaor as to how long it really takes to see this, because what's really happening is that the moon is passing between the sun and the earth, and then if you go outside, let's say on the third of the month or the fourth of the month, you'll see a little sliver in the sky. The reason for that sliver is because if you look at figure 5, it'll illustrate on the seventh of the month what it looks like. You have the sun to the right, and here's the earth, and then the moon is up, is at that point. There's a bird's eye view of the sun, earth, and moon. So now the sun is lining up the right-hand side of the moon. If you're standing on Earth at the upper half of that picture Earth, anything above the word Earth, and you look up into the sky, you will see a half a dark moon. You'll see a half-lit moon. We call that the quarter moon, because you're looking at really, it's only a quarter of the moon, you're looking at really the bottom right-hand section of that moon. Because what's happened is the moon has moved out of the way, and now you're looking at that light. So technically, after 1 or 2 days, you're also looking at a little bit of light. The only problem is, you don't see it. You know, 1 minute later, the sliver is so thin, it's so razor sharp, and impossible to see, that you don't see it. It takes time to see. Rashi in the Sefer Rosh Hashanah says it takes 6 hours to see the new moon. That's how long it takes. This is all Daf Chaf. The Baal HaMaor argues and says it takes 24 hours to see the new moon. That is the famous, this Baal HaMaor we're going to come back to on two occasions. One is it's going to relate to determining the day of the week of Rosh Hashanah, this Baal HaMaor, and the reasons why certain rules were implemented. And number two, the Baal HaMaor is the famous Baal HaMaor, and again, the international dateline, as to where the dateline is, that Shirish is in the Baal HaMaor, because when he talks about it takes 24 hours to see the new moon, in that same Baal HaMaor, he tells you, and where will you see that new moon? You'll see it at this location. And he talks about an area called the Kseh HaMizrach, which is 6 hours east of Yerushalayim, and that's therefore that's where day begins, and so on and so forth. That's the makor of his international dayline. Nowadays, okay, so that's a Machlokes Rashi Baal HaMaor. But in Tzias nowadays, they say that with a telescope, you could see the new moon under ideal conditions after about 13 hours and 24 minutes. That's with a telescope. And without a telescope, you could see it after 15 hours and 24 minutes. So it's basically 13.4 hours, and with no aid, it's going to take you about 15.4 hours. They're trying to get better at it. There's actually a Chabur of Eretz Yisrael that has made software programming that allows you perhaps to even shave this time. Again, it has to be ideal conditions, as well as it depends when the mullet was, it depends when sunset was. There are many factors that would help you determine when it is, and if with certain software programming and assistance, and you know exactly where it's going to be, at what time, and what ideal conditions are going to be. I don't mean weather conditions only, just conditions where you're located on the globe to see the moon at the ideal time. They're trying to cut that time down to be able to see it even earlier, because again, with the proper computer work, you're able to predict and project exactly where, when, how, and so on. Now, one question which you should be asking is why is it that in these pictures here, technically speaking, there should really be an eclipse? And in fact, as we know, there are eclipses. What is an eclipse? An eclipse is, let's talk about a solar eclipse. A solar eclipse is when the Earth passes, when the Moon passes between the Earth and the Sun. What happens? It's a nice sunny day, and all of a sudden the Moon blocks the sunlight. And everybody, there's a Gemara that talks about it. The Gemara in the second parak of Masechta Sukkah says that when there's a Likra Halavana, it's a Siman Ra Yisrael, or when there's a Likra Hacham, is a solar eclipse, it's a Siman Ra L'Umas Ha'olam. Now, what happens and when does it happen, is when the moon passes between the sun and the earth, the moon is going to block the sunlight. So we should ask ourselves the following question: why isn't there a solar eclipse every month? Because if you look at the picture, figure two, you'll see that the moon is spinning around the earth, takes 29 and a half days, but every Rosh Chodesh, the moon is between the earth and the sun. So why doesn't it block the sunlight? The answer is that this is a two-dimensional picture. If you look three-dimensional, what's happening is you have the sun here, and you have the earth here, and the moon is going to, let's say, be here sometimes. So if you're looking at a bird's eye view, everything's aligned. But if you're looking at it three-dimensionally, you have the earth and the sun, and the moon is down here. So the moon is going like this, right? So to speak, below that plane. Every so often, the moon actually comes right on the same level, this direction, as the earth and the sun. When that happens, you have a solar eclipse. So you have the sun here, you have the earth here, it's a nice sunny day, and all of a sudden the moon is right on the same place, and it will block the moon is going to come right between the earth and the sun, and therefore you're looking up from the earth here, you look up at the sun, and it's blocked. A partial eclipse means the moon blocked part of the sun. An annular eclipse is when the entire moon blocks the sun, but the moon was too far from the earth to block the entire sun, and therefore you see a ring, because the moon is too far away to totally shade it, and therefore there's a ring around that picture. And a total eclipse is when the moon was close enough to the earth that it's so big that actually it blocks the sun entirely. Now you will notice every time they announce, you know, that everyone gets excited, there's a solar eclipse, and people go out to, you know, they'll spend $1,000 to go to Tahiti or to some other, you know, Zimbabwe to see the eclipse. You'll always notice that it's going to be on Rosh Chodesh or Erev Rosh Chodesh. Always. Maybe 2 days before Rosh Chodesh. It has to be. You can't have a solar eclipse on Yud Beis of the month. Because Yud Beis of the month, you're looking at the other pictures. The moon is here, the moon is there, the moon is there. There's no Shaychus. The only time you'll have this event is at the time of around Rosh Chodesh. Now, it technically should be the Shas HaMailot also, because they're all aligned. It won't be the Shas HaMailot, because as we said earlier, the Mailot is an average time based on a period of time, and it could be off realistically by a few hours on any given month. So you might have the Shas HaMailot at 8 o'clock in the morning on Erev Rosh Chodesh, and there's a solar eclipse at 11 o'clock in the morning. It also depends on exactly where you're standing on the earth and so on. The reason why a solar eclipse is dangerous is simply because sunlight is always dangerous to look at. But the Baruch Shalom B'chazdai made it that you can't look up at the sun. You look, and after a split second you turn away. But the danger of an eclipse, it's not shot there's any more sunlight coming, or there's more dangerous. The more danger is that, number one, people are curious to watch it, and number two, because there's no brightness to the sun, people could say, oh, let me stare at them at the sun, because the sun is being blocked. But meanwhile, the ultraviolet rays are go around the moon, even though the sunlight doesn't, and therefore they will burn your retina le'aleinu and could cause blindness. But it's simply because it's interesting to watch, and the sunlight is being blocked. Now, a lunar eclipse will occur. Now, I'm going to take questions at the end better, like with 10 minutes to go. A lunar eclipse will always occur, and I should mention a solar eclipse was, I remember, Rosh Chodesh Adar 1979, there was a big eclipse in the United States. There's going to be another big one in 2017 that's going to be a total eclipse, and I think it's Rosh Chodesh Av, or Erev Rosh Chodesh Av. If you look at all the dates, if you look at an almanac, all the dates of solar eclipses, and you look at a Hebrew English calendar, you will see consistently that there are Rosh Chodesh, Erev Rosh Chodesh, it has to be that way. A lunar eclipse is the opposite. They're actually not, they're not as exciting as a solar eclipse. They're also not as dangerous. You could stare all you want. What happens there, that will occur on the 15th of the month or on the 14th of the month, Barach. What happens by a lunar eclipse is that the moon, if you look at figure 6, you have the sunlight that's shining on the earth and on the moon. And it's a nice full moon outside. Now we're not going to get into the times of the moon rise and the times of the moon set. But I'll just say the kitzer is that on the 15th of the month, the moon is up all night. Because if you look at the picture, if you're standing, if it's night by you, the moon is in the opposite sky of the sun. The sun rises, the moon sets. The moon rises, the sun sets. It's the exact opposite sky at the time of the 15th of the month. So if you go outside on the 15th of the month, all of these celestial beings are aligned, the sun, the earth, and the moon. However, every so often, the earth blocks the sunlight from hitting the moon. And therefore, you have a blank moon, you have a dark moon, and therefore, that's what causes a lunar eclipse. Again, that will occur around the 15th of the month. This has a very small eclipses. Basically, have no halachic implication. Again, the Gemara in Sukkah says that it's a simira. The Bali Musar and the Mefarshim ask, what it means simira? We can project when an eclipse will be. So they say it means that it's a zman ra, perhaps. And this is how they frame the Gemara. There are minimal halachic implications. A lunar eclipse has one, according to some Rishayim, related to Kiddush Levana, and when we get to that, Mitzvah Shem, we will mention that. Now, if you turn to page 3, you will see that we have defined a time of a Mailad. And I call this Mailad notation. How do you define the time of a Mailad? What time was the Mailad at? So again, the Kabbalah looks in his book, and he announces the Mailad at Zayin, you know, Fin and Minut, and so on. How do we add that? What is the most efficient way to add it? So they have what's written, the Shulah Zerki uses this, and others, of, again, what I call Mailad notation. And there are three numbers that will tell you the exact time that the Mailad occurs. The first, we read from left to right, The first number is the day of the week. And the day of the week is very simply, one is Sunday, and two is Monday, and three, and so on, seven is Shabbos. The day of the week begins at 6 p.m. the night before. Vayir, vayivayker, days begin at night, and therefore, right now, if I would want to say what, if a milah would occur right now, what would be the number in the left-hand column? The number would be a three, because it's already Tuesday, because it's right, it's Leil, Yom, Gimel. And therefore, the number there would be a three, even though we call it Monday, but we go by the beginning of the night. Now, the chiddush here is that the day begins at 6 p.m. Summer or winter makes no difference. Which means that from a Moilat perspective, at 6 p.m. tonight, it would be already 3, even though 6 p.m. was still day. In fact, you couldn't even down a Maariv yet. It's before Plag of Mincha. We would never call it Leil Yom Gimel. But for Moilat rules, we go strictly with what's called Shos Kluos, set hours, no Shos Manios. It doesn't matter winter, summer, it makes no difference. The day begins at 6 p.m. and the day ends at 6 p.m. So really, the week ends at 6 p.m. Shabbos afternoon will be the end of 7, and then at 6 p.m. will be 1. The second number is the hour. The hour, the first hour of the day is 0. Is zero. As they call in army time, 0 hundred hours, right? 0 hours is 6 p.m. 6 p.m. is 0 hours, 7 p.m. is 1, 8 p.m. is 2, etc. So midnight tonight will be the 6th, would be number 6. 6 a.m. is 12. Noon is 18, right? In other words, the 18th hour of the day is 12 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. If I want to say noon tomorrow, I would write 3-18. Because that's noon. It's starting from 6 p.m. Summer, winter, makes no difference. 5 p.m. is going to be 23. So the latest hour of the day is going to be the 23rd hour. Next, the third number to the right are the number of chalakim. As we said, there are 1,080 chalakim in an hour, so the number on the right hand column will never reach 1,080, because once it's 1,080, it's really an hour. So you put it in the hour column. The highest that number will ever get is 1,079, because that means that's one chalak before the next hour. There are 18 chalakim in a minute. There is, each chalak is equal to 3 1/3 seconds. If you notice, if you look in the Luach, if you have your Ezra's Torah Luach, you will notice that every month when they announce the Mailad, it increases by one chalik. Every month. That chalik column goes up by one. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Until it gets to 17. Then you'll have 17 chalakim. The next month, it'll go back to zero again. Because the next month is 18 chalakim. 18 chalakim is a minute, so that means the minute column will get an extra minute. Because it's, why is that? Because again, between every month, it's 29 days, 12 hours, 44 minutes, and one chalik. So that chalik column is being added over and over and over again. So the time at the top is the Moilat of Tishrei Tovshin Tzamach Gimel, which was 2002. And the time, that time of the Moilat that we would call it would be 7-12-982. That defines the Shasa Moilat. What does that mean? That's when the Moilat was. What that means was that the Moilat was on Shabbos at 6 a.m., and 982 chalakim, which is 54 minutes and 10 chalakim. How did I get that? Because 982 divided by 18 is equal to 54 remainder 10. So that means it's 54 minutes and 10 chalakim. So if you look in the Ezra's Torah Luach or other Luach for what, when was the Moilat that month, it was Shabbos free, Shabbos morning, 54 minute, 10 chalakim, nach six, right? That was the time of the Moilat. And of the Moilat of Tishrei for Tavshin Tzamach Gimel, that saying in Yiddish or English, whatever you want to call it, however you want to phrase it, that is much simpler written out in the Moilat notation. You could write all those words, Shabbos morning, 54 minutes, 10 chalakim after 6. You simply could write it with three digits, 7-12-982. The last moment of the week is going to be 7-23-1079. That time will be 5:59, 56 2/3 seconds, after 5 p.m. on Shabbos afternoon. The very next chelek will be, we'll go back to the bottom again, and it will be 1-0-0, which means Sunday, 0 hours, 6 p.m., 0 halakim, 0 minutes. Right, so that's the beginning of the week, and we will use that time. We will rare in halakha, we will see that those times around the end of the day are really not dealt with. We will see later that those halakim and those mana that have around chatzais hayayim are going to be crucial, because chatzais hayayim is going to be one of the cutoffs of determining Rosh Hashanah. Bekitzer, why is this important to know? Because it's the Shas HaMayla. If you want to sum up basically the next 9 weeks in one sentence, we will say that the Shas HaMaylad of Chodesh Tishrei will determine the day of Rosh Hashanah. And once I know Rosh Hashanah, then the whole year falls into place. That is the Cheshbon of Chazal, of how to calculate a year. Because as we know, the months, you know, there's 29, most months have the same number of days. This month is Sivan, there's going to be 30 days. And Tammuz is 29 days. And Av is 30 days. Cheshvan and Kislev, or 29-30. We'll see why. We'll see how to operate that and what the purpose of that is. But basically, the entire calendar really is going to be based on the Milad of Shas Tishrei, of Chodesh Tishrei. Once I know that Milad, very simple. I'll tell you a simple case. If you have a Milad that would be, let's say, 2-4-100, what time is that? That would be Sunday night, and 4 hours into the night, that would be Sunday night at 10 p.m., and 100 halakim, which is about 5 minutes, and 10 halakim. That means the milah was Sunday night. Very simple. Rosh Hashanah is going to be Monday. That's it. And once Rosh Hashanah is Monday, so then I know that the next month is going to be 30 days, and I know when Sukkot is going to be, and I know when Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan is going to be, and I know when Rosh Chodesh El was, because Rosh Chodesh El was only 29 days, and I know when Rosh Chodesh Av was. The whole calendar will basically fit into place. More sophisticated is that if I know the milad of this Rosh Hashanah and I know the milad of next Rosh Hashanah, I can make my entire year. I can tell you which parshas are together. I can tell you everything, what day your birthday is going to be. I can tell you when Pesach, when Purim, when everything is going to be. That is really the Iker Yisayim, and the goal here is to calculate when is the Shas HaMilad of Tishrei. And once I know that milad, what do I do with it now? How is that going to tell me? I'll be pashtus. When I know the Milad of Tishrei, that's when Rosh Hashanah is going to be. As we'll see, it's not so simple. There are four exceptions to that rule. That no, it doesn't matter. The Milad is on a Tuesday afternoon. No, Rosh Hashanah is not going to be Tuesday afternoon. We'll see why. The Milad, one we know, very famous. The Milad is on a Sunday. Rosh Hashanah is not going to be on Sunday. Layadu Reish. What does Layadu Reish mean? Rosh Hashanah can't be Sunday, Wednesday, or Friday. What does that mean exactly? What do you mean it can't be Sunday, Wednesday, or Friday? Why should it be? Could it be? Very simple. The Milad is on Sunday. Layadu Reish says Rosh Hashanah not on Sunday. Rosh Hashanah is going to be pushed off to Monday. That's really what that rule means. You know the Milad? The Milad is on Sunday, Wednesday, or Friday. You postpone Rosh Hashanah till the next day. We'll talk about why. Why those days? Why is it postponed? Why not other days? And then, Mr. Shem, we will... we'll talk about that. Now, if you look at Figure 8, you will see that between one milad and the next is 29 days, 12 hours, and 793 halakim. That's 44 minutes is 792 halakim, and therefore 44 minutes and one chelek is going to be 793 halakim. So, for example, with milad notation, I can now calculate miladais forever. For example, the milad of Tishrei Tovshin Nun Ches was 5-4-129. Now what does that mean? Again, that means that the Milad of Tishrei of Tavshin Nun Ches was on Thursday. In this case, it means it was Wednesday night, 4 hours into the night, which would be 10 p.m., and 129 halakim, which is a few minutes, which would be however many minutes, 6, 7, 8 minutes, whatever it is, it's not important. That's when the Milad was. When was Rosh Hashanah of Tishrei Tavshin Nun Ches? Must have been on a Thursday. Because the Milad of Tishrei was on Thursday. Rosh Hashanah was on Thursday. So when is the Milad of the next month? The Milad of Cheshvan. Well, it's going to be 1-12-793 later, because what does that mean? That means I need to add one. What's the one? One is one day of the week. See, when we talk about Melodais, we don't want to deal with 29. 29 is too big of a number. It's going to get me confused. I only care about the day of the week, because, you know, I know if Rosh Hashanah was on Thursday, when is the Melod of Cheshvan going to be? Well, it's going to be 4 weeks later, but I don't know exactly what time. So 29 days is the same thing as 4 weeks and one day. So forget the 4 weeks. That's easy. I just add 4 weeks and I'm about there. But I want to know exactly. I add a day of the week, 12 hours, 793 halakim. And I come up with the Melod of Cheshvan was on Friday at the 16th hour. 16th hour being 10 a.m. and 922 halakim, which is approximately 51 minutes, which is exactly 51 minutes and 4 halakim. That's when the Melod of Cheshvan is. Now, I'll tell you one aside. Halakhically, really, we don't, there are really no halakhic implications of the Melod of Cheshvan, other than the calculations of Kiddush Levana, which we'll get to. The fact that Cheshvan was at that time really has no halakhic bearing on Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan, which is a Chiddush, because, you know, we all learn Rosh Hashanah, and you know, when is the Melod, when is the Shas HaMelod, and of course I should mention that Bizman Shemesh HaMikdash Kayam, when we spoke about how the moon went around the earth, Bizman Shemesh HaMikdash Kayam, Aiden actually went out, they saw the new moon, they came to Beis Din, they said they saw the moon, they were quizzed, what sky did you see it in, what did it look like, where was it pointing. That was Bizman Shemesh HaMikdash Kayam. But when they say to our Rabbim, we don't have a Sanhedrin, they were afraid. And they had Kabbalah and the Sirens, Rabbi Lechai and Parshas Boy. It's a whole question of the Rishonim, exactly the Messiah, the Kabbalah of this. We're going to go with that. That was a Kabbalah, Mehar Sinai, which are how some Rishonim learn, that there was a Kabbalah from Har Sinai that when times get tough, and you're afraid that you will not have a base that will be able to say Mekudesh, you can now be Mekadeshit Al Pi Cheshvan, which means make these calculations that we're talking about, which is what they did in the year 359 of the Common Era, which would be 4119, from Bris Ha'olam. They were Hillel Hasheni, who's Kaveh L'Doiris, and said, we're going to Mekadesh it, because again, Beis HaMikdash had already been gone for close to 300 years, but there was still a functioning Sanhedrin in Eretz Yisrael, and then when it became too difficult in the times of Amoraim, they were Kaveh, and they said Mekush, Mekush, Mekudesh on all of the future months. But because of the Cheshvan, you see, Al Pi Re'iyah, this would be a very important time. Aiden would come, we saw the new moon, Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Hashanah, it would be very important. Al Pi Cheshvan, we really only care about the Melod of Tishrei. That's really all that's going to make a difference. We want to know when the Melod of Tishrei is, and the Melod of the next Tishrei, and then the rest of the year falls into place, as we're going to explain. It's ironic that the one Melod that's really the most important one does not get announced in Shul. Every other Melod we announce, which really has no implication other than the Cheshvan Kiddush Levana, it doesn't really matter when the Melod of Sivan was, but we announced it. The Melod of Tishrei is the Melod that doesn't get announced, and that's really the most important one. That's Bakesle of Hagenu, that's one pshat, is that, you know, Rosh Hashanah is the hidden, and the Yontif and the other pshat is Mekadesh and Shamayim, Cheshvan Tishrei. When I was in Tel Yeshiva in high school, so I used to put up the Zmanim sign for the Shiva would tell, you know, when Starmar and when Shabbos, so it was basically a formula. And I'd go to Rashiva Rav Chaim Shlita and ask him questions, but basically it was a standard, you know, saying it was this time and so on. There they didn't announce the Melod. It was written on the bottom of the card. Right? It was written on the bottom of the card. Every Shabbos of Baruchim, the Shas HaMelod was written on the bottom of this card. So Tishrei, it wasn't announced, but I wrote it on the bottom of the card. So I wrote Melod Tishrei, I wrote the time. And then usually I'd write Rosh Chodesh, you know, Yom this. There I wrote Lefichach, Rosh Hashanah Yom Heyavav. And if some Bachim came over and says, what's the Lefichach? Right? You know, therefore, Rosh Hashanah. The answer is, yeah, therefore. The Bible was at this time. Therefore, the Bible was on Monday. Therefore, Rosh Hashanah is on Monday. Again, when it falls in that period of time. Now, between each year, you can do the math, and you'll see that there are 354 days, 8 hours, and 876 halakim. Now, where did that number come from? That number came from taking 29 days, 12 hours, 793, you multiply it by 12, and you want to know how much later will next year's Melod be? Well, the answer is you're going to go through 12 sets of 29 days, 12 hours, and 44 minutes, 3/3 halakha. You multiply that by 12, and you get a grand total of 354 days, 8 hours, 876 halakim, which is equal to 354 days is equal to 50 weeks and 4 days. We don't care about the weeks. That, you know, will that'll all fall into place. We care about the number of days in the week and the number of hours and the number of halakim. Between one mailad and the next mailad, you add this number, 4, 8, 876, and you will get the mailad of the next year. So for example, if the mailad of Tishrei, Tashin Samach Gimel, was at 7/12/982, you add 4, 8, 876, and you get the mailad of next year. So what will that be? So that'll be an 11-20-1858. Now, that sounds funny because there's no 11th day of the week and there's no 1858 halakim. So what you do is you, I guess the word is parse out, you subtract out the numbers and you get 1,858 halakim is equal to 1,080 halakim plus 778 halakim. So you take the 1 hour and you make it 778 halakim, you add the hour to the hour column, instead of 20 hours it's now 21 hours. Then the 11 days of the week really are 4 days of the week because we don't care about that extra week, and therefore the following year the mailad would be at 4/21/778, which is Wednesday 3 p.m. 43 minutes and 4 halakim. Between each year you have a shana mu'uperes, you have an additional amount of time because it's an extra month. It's a 13th month. We will learn at a later date when, why, and how you have a Shana Mu'uperes. When you have that year, you will add 5-21-589, which is equal to 385. It's equal to adding 29 to 354, and it's going to be the 5 days of the week, 21, which is 383 days, which is 5 days of the week, 21 hours, 589 halakim, and that is what you will have. Where did this all start? How did all those calculations begin? It all began at Brihas HaOlam. If you look at the bottom right hand corner, there's something called Mailad Tohu. Now this really opens up a very interesting issue which we're going to end with before I take questions, and that is that for purposes of my Mailadais, we use, let me step back a minute, there's a Machlaikas Mishainim, when was the world created? And Machlaikas Tanon, when the world was created. If you want to read Barichas on this, Rav Mordechai Frankel in his Sefer Siman Aleph has a whole shtickle on this Machlaikas. And it's Machlaikas, who are we Paschal like? The truth is we Paschal like both Shitas. For example, on Rosh Hashanah we say Zayam Tchilas Masecha, which means we're saying today's the first day of the world, created in Tishrei. For purposes of Mailadais, we say the world was created in Tishrei. For purposes of Tkufais, which are seasons, which relates to Birchas Hachama and Talumata, we'll talk about Birchas Hachama coming up in a few years, we say the world was created in Chodesh Nisan. But that's how Chazal go. They go with this day this way and this day that way. Now, so for purposes of Mailadais, we go with Tishrei Nivra Ha'olam. The world was created in Tishrei. Adam Arishon was created on Friday, which was also Aleph Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah. And the world was created, of course, 5 days back. The Mailad of that year, which purposes of Mailadais and how we count years, was called Rosh Hashanah of year two. Why is it year two? Because the world was created Chaf Hei Elul. What was that year? That was year one. So if you would take the mailad of year two, that would be at Friday at 8 a.m. The mailad before that, a year earlier, the mailad of year one, is really theoretical. It's a hypothetical mailad because it was only Toyu Bavayu. The world wasn't created yet. But for mathematical purposes, we need to know the mailad of year one, in theory, statistically, was called mailad Baharan. Beis, Hey, Reish, Dalet. What does Baharan mean? If you look at the bottom right hand corner, it means 2, base. Hey is 5, Resh Dalet is 204. Mailet Baharad means the theoretical Mailet of year one, which was Tayu Vavayu. The Mailet was on Monday at the fifth hour, which would be Sunday night, 5 hours at 11 o'clock and Saman Halakim. That is from that theoretical time. The next year's Mailet, when Adam was created, was on Friday morning at 8 a.m. The next Mailet was 4/8/76 later. The next year, and until today. In other words, you can add the Mailet, the Mailet, the Mailet. You can write computer programs, and you could just add it all up. Many years ago, I put this in, remember, Fortran language. I put this in Fortran and came up with a whole program giving me every Mailet from Bria Salem all the way till 20 years ago. 22 years ago, wrote a program and it came up with the Mailet, and it added this year 5766 is the Mailet, and it works, it stems with that was Tayu Luach. But that's calling Adam Rishon born of Rosh Hashanah of year 2, and that's the convention of how we call years. The way, if we're saying this year is 5,766, that means Adam, based on the Mailat's back, was creatively created a Rosh Hashanah year 2. However, the classic Tanakh dates that are given use Adam HaRishon being created in year 0, because that's counting from Adam HaRishon's creation. So you say when you're born, you're zero, so to speak. When you're 1 year old, you're one, and so on. So when they say Avraham Avinu was born in 1948, that's using Adam as zero. If you use our convention of how we count years, you want to know how many years ago was Adam Rishon born? You would not use 1948. He was born in 1950. Because again, there are two ways to count years. There are really three ways. But one is the classic Tanakh way with the 1948 and the 2040 and the Avraham was 1948 and the Tzitzis Yisrael was 2448, and then we went and it was 480 years until we came to build the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash was up for 410. You add up all those years, you'll end up with the Churban Bayis Shemi. Churban Bayis Rishon is 3338, and 490 years later was the Churban Bayis Shemi. The year will end with an 8. According to our convention of adding years, it actually that year would come on 3828, but in our convention of years, it's 3830 of what it is. And that's why, if you ever noticed, some people write, one was Churban Bayis Shemi, you'll see some places write 68 and some places write 70. You know where that discrepancy comes from? Because it depends on what year, how, it's really 70. That's really the correct number. And the way we count years, it was 3830. But if you start from Bria Salem and you go Avraham Avinu and all that numbers, you'll come up with the number 3828. It's the same year. The machlokes is when it happened. The only machlokes is actually how to call it. So again, that was the Mailet Baharad. If you look quickly at the next page, and then we'll take questions, we will see Mr. Shev next week. We will see, once we know when the Mailet of Rosh Hashanah is, we can now calculate a standard year, and we'll see exactly how long a year is. A Shana Pshuta is going to be this long, it's going to be 353, 354, 355. A Shana Mubarak will be 383, 384, 385. And why are some different? We're going to see how we make different years different. I'll take questions, but first, if you pass up these sheets, what I'm going to do is, I have about 20 some odd sheets I'm going to put into a booklet form, and I'm going to take these copies as the earlier page. If you wrote on your pages, just keep them, which is fine. But again, I'm going to hand these back out, and you'll have your own booklet, which we're going to reference during the entire Chabura. So, Mr. Shem, it's the same time next week, 8:45, and again, we'll go, Mr. Shem, through the months of June and July. Oh yeah, and afterwards, if you can help with a minute from Ivan, a few minutes upstairs, and if you can help just put away the tables and chairs, it would be appreciated. Anyone want to take questions? I know you do like questions. Yes.
I'm going to figure 3 in the first page. Earth going around the sun. What's the Torah source for that?
The Torah source for the number?
No, the Torah source for the fact that the Earth going around the sun.
The Torah source. For the Earth going around that statement? I mean, there's a Tysus and Avodah Zarah that talks about it, but that statement, you know, I never really got into the historical yadiyas of Chazal. The ikar point of this number is that viewed from Earth, how long will it take for these seasons to occur? In other words, what's not so important to the cheshbonus is the Earth going around the sun, and what's the makor in the Torah, or what does Chazal say? What's most important is that a season will repeat itself 365 days and so on later.
Don't Chazal say that the sun goes around the earth?
I don't know. I never got into that. I know there's a text in Zara that talks about the Kadur or something like that. But in other words, the number that I'm referring to really is where Chazal dealt with that number was simply the seasons will start. Actually, the truth is, this is not Chazal's number. Actually, this is Chazal's number is different, as we'll see. It's Machlokes Shmuel and Ravada. We'll get to that. But in other words, that's the number that the seasons begin. Why that's so? That I'm not going to get into.
And finally, figure four on the next page. John Barr says 24 hours, Rashi says 6 hours, but the Messiah is 13 and a half or 15 and a half?
Correct.
How do we understand that?
We might say, it's the Shana Teva. In other words, Rashi, when he's describing Pshat Mitzugya, maybe it was the Shana Teva. Could be then they had the ability to see at different times.
When?
Maybe the days of Chazal. In other words, Rashi is explaining Pshat in the Gemara in the Sugya.
Right.
So in the days of the Gemara, maybe they had an ability, it took them either shorter or longer to actually see it.
Nature changed so substantially?
I guess. I mean, that's the terrace that I understand. In other words, Rashi clearly makes a statement, Balmor clearly makes a statement. In Mitzias, it's different now. Maybe it was less cloudy, maybe it was brighter. I don't know. Yeah.
Because there's a leap second.
The leap second. We'll talk briefly about the leap second, but that's based on how do you calculate time. The leap second is there because they've redefined time to mean the number of rotations or something of the cesium atom, something or another. And I once talked to somebody in Colorado about times. Who worked for one of the observatories. He says, I don't deal with months or weeks. I deal with seconds. The mamish is a good Musar Haskel. Mamish, every second counts. They sit and study. Should we add a second? Should we add a second? Mamish, you see the Chashivas Hazman. They care about. They have a whole professor, a whole laboratory that's dining on seconds.
Another thing. How do you get to 6 o'clock for we say? You remember that the calculation of the show, the 6, 1 o'clock to 7 o'clock. So when do you get exact 0, where do you put it? You put it on
Meredith. No, 0 as at exactly 6 o'clock. 6, 1,
yeah,
0.
How do you get the first 6?
What do you mean the first 6? Saturday night going into Sunday.
I know, but you said it's not when sundown is.
Correct.
How do you find that one time?
Oh, 6 o'clock. Okay. The definition of time is when. Where do you get that number from? Chatzais Hayayim on 4 days of the year. When is Chatzais Hayayim? That is noon on 4 days of the year. It's not really the equinox. At noon on December 25th is one of those days, and there's three other days of the year when the sun is at the highest point in the sky on pre-standard time. Solar time, that is noon. That is really the definition of time. And everything works from there. Yes?
When you were discussing the 2 years of pregnancy, why do you have different initial value conditions? I mean, you said once that Adam was created in year one and it became year two. The other one, Adam was created in year one, so I think, again,
you
both start at year zero.
Right. I think, again, I'm only thinking about what the conventions that have been established are. One cheshbon says that the world had to be created. It has to be a numbered year, so therefore it has to be called year one.
Why not year one?
I don't know, that's what they did. No, you can give it a number.
By the same, you start at zero, and then you wait for a year to pass, and that becomes year one.
Yeah, but in other words, if I want to label a physical number, I'll say it's number one.
Yeah.
Right? Others say we're going to count from Adam Arishon and go off. Yeah, George, you have a question?
Well, Kitch Kodesh was done with Adas.
Yes. Well, certain things were different. In other words, it might not have been a way of the Reichstag.